Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by Visa, the Esports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles of ESPN Las Vegas is going to join us. We'll go over the World Cup, the U.S. in action Wednesday night. We'll get his thoughts on that match, the other matches, futures, just the outlook for the U.S. in general. I know Jeff has been very into the soccer, so excited to get his thoughts. NBA free agency, I'll give my thoughts on that in a minute. Kawhi gets traded, LeBron switching teams. And we have to ask him about the Mets, the struggling Yankees. So plenty to do with Jeff, but I'll get the soccer out of the way first. I think you have to, from a betting perspective, if you're looking at just the sheer value, you have to go opposite U.S. I know people want to bet for the U.S. and they want to put their U.S. Shirts and hats on and all that and go USA and root for the futures and all that. I get that, but that is why, to me, there's value a little bit here on Bosnia. You get a goal and a half, you lay $1.30, $1.40 at DraftKings. I mean, winning a knockout round game by two goals is asking a lot. And I just think you're going to see all these betting splits. And I said this about other matches, and it got home in the Turkey one. It didn't get home in the other one. And I know they didn't need the Turkey game. Doesn't mean it's going to get home, but there just has to be, from a value perspective, betting against the U.S. just because it has to be inflated based on everyone laying the goal and a half or putting the U.S. in their money line parlays. There, I would think, has to be valued the other way. So I will, I'll take Bosnia plus 1.5 here. And, maybe U.S. wins by a goal and everybody's happy. But I know people want to root for the U.S., but that doesn't mean you always have to bet with your heart there. And I think that does create some value on the opposition. U.S. minus 700, Bosnia is plus 450. That's just to advance. Remember, there's two options. When you're betting these knockout games, you can bet just to advance, or you bet that 90-minute line. When you look at the 90-minute line, the U.S. minus 255, a much more modest favorite, so they have to win in 90 minutes plus regulation. And then Bosnia plus 750 to win in regulation. The draw is plus 380. Draw doesn't look like the worst bet either. As a very novice soccer fan, I would say U.S. probably wins in regulation 1-0, 2-1, something like that. And maybe a middle, as if you're rooting for the U.S., you get home, but you're able to cash that 1.5. Emotional hedge if you got futures, things like that. So I'll go Bosnia plus 1.5 as a play. Don't mind the draw plus 380, but I do think U.S. probably wins it by a goal. I'll say the other matches on Wednesday, Belgium and Senegal. Belgium is, if you're looking at the three-way line, Belgium plus 125, Senegal's plus 250, the draw is plus 255, England minus 350, draw plus 425, DR Congo plus 1200. And man, if you're betting these draws, yes, you've done very well. I think you're up 21, 22 units. Again, depends when, where you bet it, all of that. I believe that's the tweet I saw. You're definitely up, and you're up significantly. That being said, you've lost a few. Now you got lucky on a few, and you need a little luck to hit these draws, whether it's late goal in your favor, whatever the case. You've gotten some tough ones, though. You've gotten some really tough ones. The Canada one on Sunday versus South Africa happened in 93, 94 minutes. The Brazil-Japan match on Monday, and then again on Tuesday, Norway. In that match, Norway scores really late. So now you get some good prices if you just bet every one of them. You're doing very, very well, but the ones that haven't gotten home have been tough and could be up even more here betting the draws. If you're going to have this strategy, hey, I'm just going to bet the draws, you almost have to, I'd never say bet it blindly, but it does, leaves you with a lot of bettor's remorse, a lot of frustration when you don't bet a match, then it ends in a draw, then you bet the next one and you lose late. It can just be frustrating where, hey, if you're just going to play them off, that's going to be your strategy. Maybe just kind of blindly play them, even if it's for smaller amounts. I know with the more lopsided matches, people don't want to do that, but some of the lopsided matches, the draw has gotten home. And I will say this too, there wasn't a lot of upsets in group play. It was a lot of either the favorite winning or draws. You didn't get a lot of outright upsets until Germany got it knocked out on Monday, and again, recording this Tuesday with some of these games in action. Quickly, France and Sweden, and then Mexico or Ecuador will be eliminated by the time you listen to this. But before we get to Jeff, LeBron James came to the Lakers, came to LA in 2018. Kawhi goes to the Clippers in 2019, and they both exit LA on the same day. Kawhi gets traded back to the Raptors. And when you look at the money paid to him by the Clippers, almost $300 million, that was what was legally paid to him. I think we all know he was paid more under the table. and the playoff games won. So basically $300 million from the Clippers, and he won 17 playoff games. Though his 1 year in Toronto with the Raptors, he won 16 playoff games, won a championship, and was paid $19 million. So the Raptors get him back. They gave up some picks, some swaps. I've seen some people say, man, they gave up a lot to get Kawhi. I've seen people say, man, that's all it took to get Kawhi. I mean, they give up Ingram, who's makes a lot of money, kind of a negative value contract. That's not a concern. The picks just all depend on what the Raptors' future's like, and that's a big question mark, a big variable with how healthy Kawhi will be, will not be. 25-1 to win the title. Obviously, he's 1 year with the Raptors. They did win the title. It's a long time ago now. That's, you know, 7 years later, which crazy to think 7 years goes by that fast, but it does. Not sure I'd bet at 25-1, but there, East is going to be good. Miami, obviously, more competitive with Giannis. The Knicks, the reigning NBA champions, which is still hard to kind of get used to saying. The Celtics are still, and we'll see what they do with Brown, but the Celtics still a very viable contender. So you got a lot of teams in the mix. Still, it's a good East. The West is still the West with the Spurs and the Thunder, but hey, neither of those teams ended up holding up the trophy a month or so ago, so it's not a foregone conclusion that those teams win it. And the East certainly more competitive, and we will see where LeBron James plays. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, he has chosen a team. Sounds like Golden State. You know, just him, Curry, and it is fascinating, him and Curry, after all these battles together, them on the same team, you know, him, Curry, and whatever else, Butler, when he comes back, is that enough? I mean, it'd be fun to watch. It'll be interesting. Can they hold up through 82 games? I don't think they're a real title contender, but sounds like that's what's going to happen. It was just time for him to move on from LA to move on from him. I don't think he liked being second fiddle to Luka. And it's interesting, he's willing to take a pay cut. It's not about the money. That's the first time it's been not about the money for LeBron. LeBron is, you know, say what you want about him, good or bad. There's some people that don't say anything good about him and aren't fair about it, but he has never taken less money. He's always taken every last dollar possible. And, it's hurt him. And you can say, hey, it's his right to take every last dollar. It certainly is. But if he wanted to win championships, then maybe it wouldn't have been the difference between winning another one in LA and not anyway. But now he's willing to take it with LA. And I don't think he liked being second fiddle to Luka. And look, LeBron, he's going to, you know, it's almost like making a deal with the mob where, the Goodfellas scene where they're going to help you get your restaurant up and running. But there's a price of doing business with LeBron. You know, you got to draft this kid and you got to make him happy. The ego with LeBron is very real. And I would say it was a good run with the Lakers. Won a championship, got to another conference finals. You would have liked to be a little bit more competitive in the other, 6 or 7 years. He got hurt the first year there. I think they had a good shot to go back-to-back the year after the title, 21, the shortened season. When Davis, they were like minus 900 to win that series against the Suns. When Davis got hurt against Phoenix, that Memorial Day weekend, that Sunday, they were up 2-1 in the series. They would have, if they could have won that, they're up 3-1. Davis gets hurt. They get blown out in that game and the next two. And Phoenix goes on to make the NBA Finals. And they had a 2-0 lead before they lost, but they had a very good chance to go back to the Finals and maybe win it. And there was a lot of teams you could have said that about that year. Durant, that was the year with him, Harden, and Kyrie were all on the same team. And Harden and Kyrie got hurt. They were destroying everybody. The Clippers got hurt. A lot of teams got hurt that year, but the Lakers would have had as good a shot as anybody. Then they made the Westbrook trade, and that just got everything off the rails. That got everything sideways. That really set them back. You know, they gave up assets. Westbrook was such a damaging player that they gave up assets to get rid of Westbrook. And as soon as they got rid of him, they were good again. They went back to the conference finals, but Davis was hurt a lot. Bad maneuvers. They won the title. Probably could have won another one, but hey, the Lakers were completely irrelevant before LeBron got there. We'll see where he goes. The Warriors also 25-1 as you look at the odds for next year. The two big guys at the top, the Spurs and the Thunder, both plus 250 to win the title here as we've gotten some action here. July 1st, around this time, is always pretty good with the NBA, with the movement. I mentioned a couple months ago, and I think it was during the OKC-San Antonio series, that these teams are so much better than everybody else that, you know, you wonder if these other guys, these older guys, start to pair up and text each other and call each other and say, hey, we can't beat these guys unless we team up. And maybe you're seeing a little bit of that. But Thunder and Spurs both plus 250, Celtics plus 650, shorter than the Knicks were plus 700, which, and you could make the case that should be flipped and the Knicks should be shorter. Miami 18-1, Timberwolves 22-1. I mentioned the Raptors and Warriors both 25-1, as are the Nuggets. Pistons in that range at 28-1. Pistons are good, but they don't have enough shooting. Cavs, Lakers both 30-1. I think you're reaching after any of these other teams. So we'll see where LeBron goes, but he moves on. and we'll see here where he ends up. If he goes on with, you know, if he catches on with the Warriors, that's certainly interesting. Him and Curry, all the battles together. And there's reports, there's mixed reports. I've heard they don't like each other. I've heard they've mended fences. They've certainly had their battles. I think LeBron, again, go back to the ego. I think LeBron resented those 2 or 3 years where Curry won MVP, and there was this consensus, or there was this opinion thought among some people that, hey, maybe Curry's the best player in the league. I think Curry's better than LeBron, and LeBron, I think, resented that. But we'll see. We'll see if they end up on the same team. You know, the Heat are in the mix, supposedly. I don't want to spend too much time on this because by the time you listen to this, maybe he's on a team. But, you know, would he go to the Spurs or something like that and try to link up and try to win one more title? Doesn't sound like that's the case. But if you're going to the Warriors, you're probably not winning the title. I would think the Heat, maybe you get back to a finals, but we'll see here. But the NBA has given us a little juice, a little excitement here. Summer League should be starting, I think, the next week or so. It always right around the All-Star break, maybe the week before. So you get a little, try to find a team here. We like, maybe get JVT on, try to find a little sleeper team with some long odds. Remember last year, Charlotte, 100 to 1, 120 to 1, something crazy. And they end up cashing it. So, hey, that pays the bills. You get 100 to 1 home. So we'll see if we can find a sleeper here when those odds pop up here soon. But coming up next, Jeff Parles. We'll talk some soccer, NBA, Major League Baseball, a little bit of everything. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we're back. Should Have Bet More podcast, and he is back. ESPN Las Vegas. He's one of our favorites. He joins us once again, Jeff Parles. Jeff, what's going on, man? It is summer. It is hot here on the East Coast, but not really slowing down. World Cup, Wimbledon to kind of fill in the gaps till we get football. What's going on, and how are you?
I'm doing all right, buddy. It's always good to be on with you, and you mentioned it. For the people who decided this North American World Cup was going to be a disaster, wrong in every account. For the people who don't like soccer and are not watching this World Cup, you're missing out. You're missing out on what has been. Look, I like betting soccer. I if I had a better grasp of the club teams, I would probably bet soccer as much as I bet the NFL. In all honesty, Will, because I just enjoy it that much. It's very hard being on the West Coast to be able to get a grasp of the Euro teams in the fashion that I would like. But it's been a fun tournament to bet. It's been a fun tournament to watch, and it's only going to get better as we go along here, Will.
Yeah, and the draws, which were very good to me, and have been good to me overall in this tournament, there have been. We're recording this late Tuesday afternoon, early Tuesday evening. The draws, man, there's been some tough ones the past couple of days. I guess, you know, just talking this through, if you're going to do this, if this is your strategy, is bet the draws, you can't really pick and choose. You just kind of have to do it because I've gotten burned sitting out some of the ones that ended draw, and then some of these ones where it's a draw up until, you know, 94th minute, 95th, 96th minute. They're just painful. But the games on Wednesday, let's start here with the U.S. minus 700. On Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, minus 700 to advance. Bosnia plus 450. If you're looking at the 90-minute line, U.S. minus 255, draw plus 380, and then you get Bosnia plus 750. Any betting angle, you're in 2.5 is the total. You get a little plus money on the under. Any action for you here? How would you play this, if at all?
I mean, if you're going to play it, unfortunately, the only betting angle you can take is take the dog at that price. I don't see Bosnia having that good of a chance against the U.S. I actually went to Switzerland versus Bosnia and Herzegovina in L.A. A few weeks ago. I actually saw this team up front. That match was tied in the 75th minute, and then all hell broke loose, and Switzerland scored 4 goals in the last 20 minutes, in part because Bosnia went a man down. They gave up a penalty kick and just became a total cluster at the end for this Bosnia and Herzegovina team. Look, the Americans, when at full strength, have been awesome in this tournament. They completely dominated the Paraguay squad that beat Germany on Monday, knocked Germany out of the tournament. They handled Australia, who, again, I'm kind of surprised Australia made it through, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do with that? And look, they played their backups, and they lost on legitimately the last kick of the game against Turkey. So this is, to me, without a doubt, this is the best team the Americans have ever fielded in a World Cup. It happens to be in your home country, which is a great thing as well. I think the U.S. will win. It's probably going to be something in the pocket of 2-0, 3-1, which makes this a very difficult game to bet on total. I guess if you want to lay a goal and a half with the U.S., you could take a shot, but I'm always very cautious of doing that, especially with a team like Bosnia. They're very physical, Will. They are very physical. They are not overtly skilled, but remember, this is a team that beat Italy in the final stage of qualifying to get in this tournament. So, again, it's not going to be the easiest match, but it's a match that if the U.S. loses, it would be a humongous disappointment.
I was thinking Bosnia plus 1.5 minus 140. Isn't there, and I always say this with these patriotic events, whether it's the hockey, now with the soccer, I mean, there has to be value with everyone just betting the U.S. And you're going to see these bet splits come out and, you know, the line splits and the betting action, they handle all that. It's going to be 96, 97% of the money's on the U.S., either money line and parlays, laying the goal and a half. Doesn't that just by definition make their value taking the goal and a half or not necessarily?
I mean, anything value-wise in this game is going to be on the Bosnia-Herzegovina side. I mean, that's just what it is. You kind of just laid it out there, Will. And I am likely going to stay off of the match. I just think when it's all said and done, the U.S. is just, they're just a much better team, and they've been much better in this tournament. So no plays in this game. I do expect the U.S. to advance.
What is a realistic run for the U.S.? If you're dreaming the dream, how far can this team actually go?
The furthest they could go, assuming France does not get upset, is the semis, because they can't possibly beat France. There's just no way, unless if there's major injuries that happen along the way. The French, to me, are the rightful favorite. They're by far the best team in this tournament. It's just a matter of them staying interested. Now, the funny thing is, I'd say this now, and I'll preface this because we're recording this before France and Sweden take the pitch in East Rutherford. If France loses to Sweden, then you can start dreaming crazy here. Now, look, I'm very interested on what a U.S.-Belgium price would be, because I don't know what that price would look like, because Belgium, the first two matches looked awful, and then they just completely destroyed New Zealand in the final match day. I think New Zealand's one of the weaker teams that was in this tournament, but still 5 goals is 5 goals. They have a very difficult matchup against Senegal before the American game on Wednesday. I actually like the Senegalese. I think Senegal is a really good team. They, even though they technically are not the African champions, they won the African tournament, then lost it on technicalities after the fact because their manager pulled them off the field because of he did not agree with the officiating. A total disaster in that AFCON earlier this year. But I'm very curious what that pricing will be with the Americans against Senegal or Belgium. I think the U.S. would be favored against Senegal. I think they'd be a slight underdog against Belgium, even though I don't think that necessarily be right. They would be a dog against any of the three Euros they could possibly see in the quarters. That would be Portugal, Spain, and I would make them an underdog against Croatia, because at that point, that means Croatia would have beaten Portugal and Spain back-to-back, and they would have their usual World Cup voodoo going again. Again, I think semis is probably the absolute peak, which would mean, I guess you could say, third place in this tournament. But I don't think they're good enough to get to the final. Then I don't think they're good enough to pull up what would likely be 3 sizable upsets in a row to win the championship. I just don't see that.
England minus 1,100 tomorrow against DR Congo. And you mentioned Belgium minus $1.70, Senegal plus 130 are the other two matches. Then on Thursday, well, first off, do you have anything on those two? Are you going to be betting either of those in any way?
I will be on the Senegalese. I just have to figure out what fashion I'm going to do it. I just think Senegal is, I think they're the better team, in all honesty. I think they're the better team. And as this tournament has proven, Will, look, the African sides are good. I mean, they got 9 out of 10 into the knockout stage. That is very, very impressive when all you heard going in, all Africa has too many slots, and the Confederation had too many slots was Asia. They have no one, the only one left is Australia, and I think they'll be gone by the end of the round of 32. So I like Senegal. I just can't do anything in the England DR Congo matchup. I just can't do it, Will. I would I would love to take a piece of DR Congo plus the goals. But look, that it wouldn't shock me if England wins that match 4-0. So we'll steer clear of that one.
How about on Thursday? Spain big favorites over Austria, Portugal minus 280 over Croatia, and then Switzerland minus 200, Algeria plus 155. And did you, I'm sure you did, follow, watch the madness Saturday night, Algeria, Austria, where it was a Chargers-Raiders kind of comparison where both teams were in with the draw. The tie worked fine. Looked like that was going to be the way it is. Then all of a sudden it goes from 2-2 to 3-3, just a wild sequence of events. But anything in those games, and what about that?
Absolute insanity, that match on Saturday night. So that price on Portugal is ridiculous. You said minus 280, right, to advance?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that price is insane. Croatia always overachieves in this tournament with this group. They have a final appearance in 18. They have a third place finish in 22. They're old. They're very old. They're old. But they found a way against Panama. They found a way against Ghana to finish in second. And Portugal, look, they should have lost to Colombia. I mean, the Colombian scorer was offside by a millimeter on Saturday night as well. So, Portugal is, to me, they were my pick pre-tournament. I thought they were one of the three most talented teams in the field, but they play as individuals. They don't play as a team. So that concerns me against the ultimate team in Croatia. So I would only take Croatia. I don't really like anything else in the other two matches. Spain should roll Austria. Austria stinks. That is probably a little too of an expensive price on Switzerland, but I don't really trust Austria. And Switzerland's just solid, Will. They're just solid. They don't make mistakes. That's a match they'll win just because they're the more tactically sound team.
When people listen to this, LeBron James might be on a new team. What team do you expect that to be?
I expect it to be Golden State. He should go to San Antonio. That's my whole thought process. Well, I think if he went to San Antonio, the Spurs would be the championship favorites without a shadow of a doubt. Because what did they miss the most in that Knicks series?
Experience.
They missed a true veteran leader to calm them the hell down when they were blowing leads. Didn't have that. And LeBron would be perfect for that team. And I think at this point of his career, and look, I just think he and Luka just didn't like each other. So I think that was why that really fell apart there in L.A. And I just don't trust how the Lakers are run.
I don't think LeBron liked being second fiddle either.
This point, he's going to be second fiddle wherever he goes.
But if he's going to go somewhere else, he can be second fiddle, have a chance to win a championship. I mean, that just ran its course where it wasn't a great run. Yeah, go ahead.
And you just said it. The Lakers were not a legitimate championship contender. Like, even though the record was solid last year, no one ever bought that they were going to win a title last year. And you saw it and look, even if Luka was there against Oklahoma City, they still lose in five. Like, they get throttled by the Thunder one way or another. I think he ends up at Golden State. I think just the opportunity to play with Steph is just got to be so intriguing to him. And I understand, like, he had those wars with Golden State when he was in Cleveland the second go around. But the league is so different at this point. So I think he ends up in Golden State. But for me, I think the optimal idea would be San Antonio. And Simmons was making this point the other day. People would call the San Antonio move ring chasing. I don't think it would technically, it would, yes, it would be a ring chase, but it's also like the optimal basketball scenario for him at this point. So I really do think he should go to San Antonio.
So if that's the team, if it's Curry, LeBron, Butler at some point? Is Draymond come back for this? That's the other thing that was interesting too. He's going to I'll take a pay cut. Maybe he sees, you know, all the attention and praise Brunson got for taking a pay cut all these years. And you could say, you know what, he has the right to take every last dollar, which he certainly did. All these years, he wouldn't take a pay cut. Now, all of a sudden, he's taking a pay cut, which I think is interesting.
Well, look, it's Draymond. That's all I'll say, Will.
What is that team's realistic upside? Obviously, health and getting through the regular season. Is that a dangerous team?
I don't think they're a championship threat. I don't think they're a championship threat. I just think San Antonio and Oklahoma City are just so far out in front of everybody else out west. And even if he goes there, I just don't see it. San Antonio is such an optimal fit for Braun. It really is, Will. Like, it just makes so much sense. Like, he has a good relationship with Popovich, too. Like, even though obviously not coaching, like, Pop is still involved. I think San Antonio just makes way too much sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, if money's not going to be a factor, San Antonio obviously made a ton of sense. But of the teams mentioned, Golden State, Cleveland, Miami, to me, Miami, I know it's not an ideal fit in terms of, like, you need shooting and all that. But I'd want to get out of the West where I can just I could see a path at least to the finals. And I know the East has gotten better and we'll get to Kawhi. But if you can have Giannis, LeBron, Bam, and you just find some shooting somehow, some way, I don't know, maybe that's better than joining Golden State. But him and Curry together is fun. I did think there was a little, I don't know, poetic justice to LeBron joins the Lakers in L.A. in 2018. Kawhi joins the Clippers in 2019. And on the same day, they both exit L.A. Did you like that trade for Toronto? Does that make Toronto a serious threat in the East?
You know, it's pretty funny. They actually gave up more for Kawhi now than they did when they got him the first time, which is just remarkable. Look, it makes them very interesting. Makes them very interesting. Now, I'm not a huge Scotty Barnes guy. So, I think their ceiling's a little bit lower than I think others will give them credit for. But, man, they're going to be sick defensively on the wing, Will. Like, they're going to be really hard to score against. They were already hard to score against to begin with. But they're going to be really difficult to score against moving forward. So, look, that's the team that I would probably hate to see if I were a Knicks, a Celtics, a whoever, a Miami in a postseason scenario. But I just don't think they're good enough to realistically be, hey, this team is a legitimate NBA Finals contender.
New York baseball. Where do you want to start? The Yankees have lost 5 in a row. The Mets have a new manager. I will give you the floor. You could take both at once. Start wherever you like.
The Yankees will be fine. The Yankees will be fine. Just a very, very bad week. They will be fine. Now, the only reason you could say that they will not be fine is, of course, that you're still going to be without Aaron Judge for a long period of time. So, their next month is going to be fascinating on what Cashman decides to do with the trade deadline. Because you could argue that the Yankees, because of how awful the American League is, that they need to go for broke here. Even with the questions of Judge's health the rest of this year, right? Like, you got to go for broke. The AL sucks. And realistically speaking, you just have to get to the World Series, right? Crazy stuff can happen if you just get there, regardless of the fact that the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Braves, and probably Philadelphia are all clearly better than the Yankees. But they got to just go all in. I'll chalk this bad losing streak up to a bad week. I don't know what the hell the Mets do moving forward, Will, because I think the only true fix is fire David Stearns, but that's just not going to happen. Just not going to happen with all the labor uncertainty going in to this upcoming offseason. I just don't see Cohen just going from scratch with his front office and his manager going into what will be a totally new era of baseball because of the new CBA. But it's flabbergasting how much they suck. I mean, it is just flabbergasting that they are as bad as they are. There is no reason for them to be this bad, but whenever they don't hit, they pitch well. Whenever they don't pitch, they hit well. They perfected it. They perfected basically what they did last August to a T in September. So, look, I think Mendy was a complete sacrificial lamb. I don't think it was his fault that this team was as bad as it was. Andy Green's not going to fix anything. It's just a bad team. And David Stearns is 100% culpable for this. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he left the Brewers, and the Brewers have been awesome. I mean, they're the best team in the National League last year, and they're going to get a top three seed in the NL again, more likely than not this year. So I don't think it's a coincidence. I think David Stearns was always overvalued in Milwaukee, and now that he's in a real market with a real budget, he basically is trying to be Billy Beane in Oakland, and he's failed miserably. And 2024 looks like a fluke more than anything else.
Jeff, appreciate the time, man. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Yeah, I'll actually be on ESPN Las Vegas later today, Wednesday, 6 to 9 Eastern time, 3 to 6 Pacific. Get me on the social media at Jeff Parles on the X machine.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Jeff Parles. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back Friday. See you then.